بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. As the Jude once mentioned, some great saint, perhaps it was Hazrat Fariduddin Rahmatullah Ali, he had met up with 500 awliya. And he posed about three or four questions, and all the answers were alike. In some situations, these mashayikh will instruct you, they'll allow you to go and meet other awliya as well. And sometimes they will discourage you from doing so. So this is subject to the person himself. For some person, it's going to be beneficial. Some person, it's not going to be beneficial. So they judge the person and they will tell him, you go or you shouldn't go. Now, what may be the reasons, what are the possible reasons that they will encourage or discourage? Sometimes they discourage you because you may begin to compare your sheikh with that wali. In the comparison, one of two things may come out. Either you may rate your sheikh to be very high. If you do so, then you will despise this wali. Despising him and thinking low of him is your destruction. Or sometimes you may see him to be engaged in more ibadat than your sheikh. So you will think less of your sheikh. So again, this is a problem for you. So for some person, he will discourage, no, you don't go. Then, apart from that, these awliya ikram, some of them, temperament, they are very refined in their temperament, very sensitive and very refined. And one needs to understand them. If you don't understand them, and you don't have that refinement, and you won't meet them, then instead of drawing from them, you start hurting them. One person used to come and meet Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Rahmatali, Murid, and he used to travel from a great distance to come and meet Mirza Sahib Rahmatali. So, being very attached to the Mirza Sahib Rahmatali, then he would ask Hazrat some khidmat, allow me to do some khidmat. And Hazrat would just say no, Jazakallah, thanks, Jazakallah. And he would go on asking the same question. Now he doesn't know why Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah is turning down the offer. Like I say, sometimes you wish to do good, but the sheikh is not very comfortable. But he overlooks, he just keeps quiet, he doesn't tell you anything. Thus he may not hurt you. Like they say, one deaf person came to meet his friend that was ailing. So he said, we're going to meet him. So the deaf person came and knocked at the door. And when this ailing person got to know this deaf person that's come to meet, he said, Allah, this headache has come again. Because this person here, apni to sab sunayega, he'll say whatever he wants to say, and he won't listen to what I have to say. So it's just a headache, this person here. But anyway, now he's at the door, so he can't turn him away. And the deaf person is also, he's preempting, you know, what questions I will put across and what answers he will give. So he'll say this, and I'll answer like this, you see. So the deaf person is asking him, how do you do, right? And the deaf is preempting that perhaps he'll say, I'm doing very well. So he said, this person is already angry, so he's asking him, how do you do? He said, I'm dying. It's Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Allah Ta'ala completed what he's asking. Anyway, he went on and then says, what medication are you using, you know? So he thought, well, he'll give a name of some medication. So he said, all right, may Allah Ta'ala allow that medication get into your body, you know, benefit you. So he's preempting. So he said, what medication are you using? So he said, zahar pi raha hu, taking poison. So he says, no, it's very beneficial. May Allah Ta'ala let it penetrate your entire body. This is all Mu'arum Rahmullah's works. But he's giving you some understanding. That sometimes you think you are a comfort for that buzurg, but you're not a comfort. So they encourage you that you stay for short terms and then move away. 3 days, 5 days, 10 days. Now, that person who's built up that type of affinity and that type of attachment, he knows the temperament. He knows how to behave, how to conduct himself. So he's a comfort. But a person doesn't know all these things yet, and he wants to be too close, then instead of him being a comfort, it's going to cause problems. And that buzurg, in his generosity, he'll keep quiet, he won't say anything. So this person then asks him, all right, and which doctor you are visiting? So he thought, now he'll say, it's so-and-so doctor, so that I will compliment him, you know. So he says, he's already angry now. So he says, which doctor is visiting you, seeing you? He says, Malakul Maut. It's what a great doctor he is. And he, may his coming be welcome. MashaAllah. Now you see, what we preempt, what we imagine, that, you know, we are doing something good for the Shaykh, and it doesn't turn out to be good all the time. So for many people, that short visit is better than a lengthy, prolonged visit. So this person is coming to Mirza Jana Rahmatullahi. Now his temperament is too refined, absolutely refined. His temperament is so refined, let's imagine, that it's a winter's night and he didn't have enough covering, right? The Buzugaradin, their tabiat was such, nearly all of them, like the things that they need, but some needy person comes around, they'll give it to him. Another person comes around, they'll give it to him. They won't hesitate in giving it to him. So now, as a result now, it's winter, biting cold, Delhi, you know how cold it is. And someone came around, so he gave away the coat, gave away his clothing. He doesn't have enough clothing to or covering to cover himself. So one woman, an old woman, she noticed all this. So around Maghrib Isha time, she just did some ID down, what do you call it, really half duvet or something. She got the duvet right, and she sent it up. So the Khadim thought, now tonight he's going to sleep very well, sound. So in the morning he asks, Hazrat, you know, did you sleep well? He said, I couldn't sleep the whole night. Eyes are red, I can't sleep. So what happened? Whereas the woman came and gave it to him in the dark. He didn't see anything. Total dark, right? But the morning he's feeling that Hazrat is totally comfortable. Had a nice sleep. I couldn't sleep the whole night. Why? He says, the linings were not straight. They're crooked. He perceived that as well, that the linings were not straight. So his khadim was to be Ghulam Ali. Ghulam Ali, Sayyid Mahmud Alusi, etc. Then you get this Lama Shami's Ustad. All they were connected to this Ghulam Ali, to the same Naqshbandiya silsila. So he was his personal attendant. And Hazrat Ali should repeat the story a couple of good times. So there was one type of mitai, they used to call it loaves. I suppose it was small, like a badam shape, so they call it a loaves. So some of the loaves that they had, he gave it to Ghulam Ali. Packet, maybe 1 kilo or something, gave it to him. So he asked Ghulam Ali after a day, after gave him, how's that loaves? As I finished it, everything, what a headache now. Just hearing that he ate the whole thing, अरे कोई एकदम से खाने की चीज थी, ये तो खाने के बाद एक बस खाने की थी, and you wipe the whole thing out. You're supposed to take just one, and you finish the whole thing. The temperament. Now, as he's giving him the loaves to eat, you know, to take home, just wrap it in a paper and then take it. So he just took a paper and, you know, he, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're causing a headache. So he showed him how to wrap the thing, get all the sides, all the ends equal, this side, that side, front, back, right, left, and see how you wrap the thing. Now, very, very refined, extremely refined person. The king of that time came to meet Mirza Sahib Rahmatullahi. He first declined, you know, to come. Insisted, now he's already at the door. Now how are you going to stop him? Like Indira came to Dioman, right? Now she insisted, now eventually she came for the Jalsa. Now how are you going to stop her? She's the head of the state, now you can't stop her. There'll be other problems just now, head of the state. That's why they say, Amru Sultani Ikram. The king says something, and it's coercion. That's amount of coercion. You can't stop. You just have to give in. That is why when the Quran Sharif, وَمَا أَكْرَهْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ, you know, the magicians accepted Islam, and after they accepted Islam, so they say that we desire, we hope Allah Ta'ala will forgive us. So forgive us our sins, khatayana, وَمَا أَكْرَهْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ, and for you forcing us onto magic. So what is meant by for him forcing them onto much magic? He commanded them to do the magic feat in his presence. So that command of the king is ikra, will amount to coercion, force, etc. You got no choice. Because you know, if you're not going to accept, what's going to happen? So the king is already there now. And the king is there now, he has to allow him. So gave an audience, spoke to him, etc. Whatever he needed to be discussed, he discussed. Then he longed for some water. So Mirza Sahib said, there's a matka there, or this earthenware jar you have, will help yourself. So he went and helped himself. So he took the water, poured it into the cup, drank the thing, covered it as it was. And then he asked Mirza Sahib Rahmatullahi, you know, can I be of some khidmat to you? And maybe I can send a khadim to you. He's seeing now that I had to pour the water myself. There wasn't a khadim. So maybe I can send a khadim to you. Any advice? Like how people, when they come to see a buzuk, so any advice? So when he asked for advice, I wasn't supposed to tell you anything. But now you ask for advice, then it becomes a duty to tell you something. So he says, please don't come back again. Then he says, you know what? See, you had to cover the earthenware, right? You didn't cover it straight. You know how it was straight. You didn't cover it straight. So you can't cover this matka straight. You can't get this right. This whole country of India, how can you rule it correctly? See that? You can't get this right. And this whole administration, how will you ever be able to get it right? See the refinement. So these buzurgs were so refined. So that's why they didn't like to entertain people for too long periods. But like I said, someone has built an affinity, he understands the temperament, right? For him, it's a pleasure. To entertain him, it's a pleasure. Otherwise, no, others now, they don't have that. So they may be, they may get involved in several wrongs. Like sometimes they may despise the sheikh or despise others, compare, right? Sometimes that buzurg is a man after all, right? When he's a man, then he may be engaged in some amusement, perhaps his grandchild or someone. You know? So now this person will see, hey, the buzurg is doing it, he's playing around. How can he do such a thing? Now he doesn't realize he's a buzurg, but he's also a grandfather of this child. So this child, he has to treat him accordingly. And the guest, the people that are coming up, then he'll have to talk to them accordingly. Now, but that person can't digest this. And he can't digest this, that he will consider this to be something wrong and incorrect. Why is he behaving like this? Like how you play with a child, you play like a horse or something, and walk on fours, let the child be over your head. So now he'll see something like this, and say, "Ek isa buzurg." He won't realize, you know. So anyway, this person came to meet the Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and as he's leaving, he said, "I want to come more, be in your khidmat. Give me some, tell me, allow me, you know. Give me some advice at least." Kept on saying, and Mirza Sahib kept on pushing it. So he kept on pushing. So Mirza Sahib said, "See, you come to me twice in the year. Now make your visit just once in the year." He thought now he'd get doubled from 2 to 4. Now he got singled from 2 to 1. He said, "See, you know, see your size, right? You're quadruple, four times, so fat you are, right? So when you come here, then, you know, my mind begins to get a little bit perturbed. Thinking, hey, this person here, and how much he must be eating, you know. So when I think of that, then I feel nauseated. I feel nauseated. Right? And to get over that nauseation, then I have to take laxatives. Now, previously I was young, I could manage all these things here. Now I'm aging, now for me to take laxatives and all, it's becoming a little bit heavy, unbearable. So rather just reduce it from 2 to 1. Now you see that tabiat, very refined tabiat. So that's why some of the Buzrugaradin, or in fact all of them, nowadays especially, because people don't know how to live. When they don't know how to live, then they cause problems for themselves. So for them it's beneficial they stay for short periods. Not like what used to be happening in the past, where the person is staying for a year, 2 years, 3 years, no problems. Now, I think maximum, they must come for about 40 days maximum, or less. Not more than that. Because more than that, then they don't know how to conduct themselves. Then they're going back, but they're going back with a little bit of problem, because now the sheikh already felt hurt with his presence. Now, for the sheikh to have a little bit of injury and pain against the murid, it's not a beneficial thing. There mustn't be any injury in his heart for you. His heart must be open. But if he's hurt, his heart is injured. See, Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sallallahu had accepted him for Islam, but then asked him, "Hal tastatiu an tughayyiba wajhaka anni?" With all the acceptance of his tawbah, etc., etc. But Nabi Sallallahu, when he saw him, so he thought of the incident at Uhud, you know, how mercilessly his uncle was martyred, how the chest was ripped, how the eyes were removed from the socket, etc. So that incident came back, it flashed back. So he asked him, you know, "Don't come in front of me, stay away from me." So he understood and he went away, lived in Sham until he passed away. Right? But Nabi Sallallahu asking him to steer away was a blessing for Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu. It wasn't a punishment, it was a blessing for him. Because between the Nabi and the Ummati, there need to be an open relationship. If this man is going to come to Nabi Sallallahu all the time, then a Nabi is a Nabi, but he's a man also. When he's a man, he has feelings. When he has feelings and emotions, then when he sees him, that the same thought may just flash back. And when there's a flashback of the thought, so the heart is not so open to him. There's an injury in the heart against the person. When there's a slight injury, so he's not going to benefit as he's supposed to be benefiting. Because the benefit is coming via the Nabi to the Ummati. When it's coming via the Nabi to the Ummati, then there mustn't be any interruption in the relationship. It's like a wire going through, or say like a pipe going through, and there's an interruption, you're not going to receive. There's going to be a problem in the reception. So you rather keep away. If you keep away, keep a distance, I won't see you, then I won't have the need to think of the past. So you will receive, and you will receive maximum, receive full. You won't receive anything short, you see. So this visiting of this awliya we're talking about, and I explained, Hazrat Rahmatullah explained the story several good times. One person, I think it was Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah, and he met up with about 500 or 600 awliya and presented the same questions. And all those 500-600 awliya gave the same answers. I was studying Zakaria last night. I was talking about that incident in Mina, you know, Hazarji and Mawla Abrar Sahib Rahmatullahi. Right? So one part of it I missed out. This was our tent, and just I think one, two tents away was Mawla Abrar Sahib, or maybe adjacent. It's just there, 1979 now. I think Mawlana Harun, 79 or 80. Mawlana Harun Sahib's mother had passed away then, 80 or 81 somewhere. So he asked me to do the Hajj Badal for his mother. So I had the fortune to be in that company at that time. Alhamdulillah. So we are here, and next door is Mawlana Sahib's tent. I can remember still very clearly, as though this is the Takiyah, this is a pillow. Mawla Abrar Sahib is lying down in Mina. He's lying down with his legs on this side. And a few moments later, I'm seeing someone is crawling. Are they in the ihram now, so you can't make out whether he's a Turk or he's an Irani. Fair looking, aged, fair looking, but he's struggling, whether he's crawling or something. And he comes and he lies down on this side of the Takiyah, big Takiyah. So he's lying, he put his head here and his feet are on the other end. And within moments, that person died. So this all happened in front of us. Aga apni maut se koi bashar nahi. Samaan hai 100 saal ka pal ki khabar nahi. So he met up with this awliya-e-kiram. So in meeting with awliya-e-kiram, great thing is to understand the temperament. Understand how you need to behave there. So, you went in a good state, and you came back in a good state. You went with good, so you came back with good. It mustn't be that you left anything behind. Some people don't know how to behave. No? They'll sit on there and talk, this happened here, that happened there. So now, when they relating all what's happening all around, so they don't realize that this person has to see so many other guests as well, right? Number one. Number two, he's got his own duties to attend to. So in briefing him with what's going on, they're eating and encroaching onto each time. And he can't say it by, you know, encroaching in my time, but just be a little bit considerate. It's difficult for him to say that. He's obviously a guest. So for him to say this, it becomes a little bit difficult. See, when Hazrat Zainab bint Jahash, radiallahu anha, when her nikah, because her nikah was done differently, zawwaj nakaha, she used to be boastful over the other zawaj, that your nikahs were done on earth, and my nikah was done in the heavens, zawwaj nakaha. So she had some excellence over them. So the walima was also done a little bit more than the other aswaj. And at the same time, that law of parda had come up. So now, the homes, trying to understand the homes, how the homes were constructed then, it was like one hall, just one open hall. So the walima is taking place in that home, and Zainab is seated at the end, with their face turned towards the wall. Right? So that was the living style at the time. They didn't have that type of homes like we have today. You have different apartments, right? One room here, another room here, another room. So she's seated there, and the rest of the guests are seated here. Right? How good it would be if we can revert to this, that we conduct our walimas at home, not in the halls. This hall culture and this hotel culture is alien to Islam. Hotel and hall culture is alien. You know, this thing just started out recently, about 35, 40 years. Before that, this thing wasn't so common. It was but an isolated case, someone had gone into the hall, right? And hotel, you had hardly heard anybody booking into hotel. I came to Johannesburg, so some friend, I will stay at his place. He came over to Durban, so he will stay over at my place. But now imagine if this thing is gone from us, right? When we book into hotels, right? Hotel got its own ambiance, right? With all types, mushriks, kafirs, all types. Everybody's coming, polytheists, everybody's coming there. Right? And everybody got his own style. Right? They openly drinking, and they womanizing, everything's happening there. The clothes are different, the ways are different, the styles are different. Now if you book in there, then obviously you want to fit into the ambience. Right? It's obvious. So maybe you are a little bit more cautious. Your children are exposed to all this. Right? Then what's going to happen? The next generation, what's going to happen? And the third generation then perhaps you can't distinguish between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. The behavior will be gone, everything will be washed away. So we got a style, they got a style. Leave them to what they are doing, and they must leave us to what we are doing. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ Their styles, their living, there isn't that type of generosity in them. And us, there's a generosity, there's hospitality, it's part of our deen, part of our culture. مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفًا Right, it's part of our culture. They don't have it. So a guest coming in, living, and that is not acceptable to them. I explained some times back that an easy thing that we can do for those that are building homes, you know, so that we can at least receive from this hadith, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ So we can receive, you know, such a great thing. The wisdom is encouraging to such an extent, right? Then honor your guest. So it's an encouragement, it's a command from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Building our homes, and where we've got all this type of fancies, whatever, just for the looks, the type of carpet, the type of tiles, the type of finishes, right? The person that sells tiles, he says, some tiles you got, one piece is about 1,000 rand, 2,000 rand. And the surprising thing, the major buyers are Muslims. So we got the money to do all these things here. So when you got the money to do all this, then why don't we use that money in a way that will be pleasing to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Or we had just one apartment we got, but just prepare it for the guest. Some guest came along, so he doesn't invade into your privacy. He's got his room, small little kitchenette, whatever. He's living there, he's comfortable. 3 days, 2 days, whatever period. But you got the money, and why don't you earn the barakat of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? His blessings, why don't we earn that? So we can cool our eyes with all the finishing, right? And then finishing, maybe the first week of us putting all that finishing, we'll look at it. And after that, it's forgotten. You don't admire it any longer. People come, before they used to come live in Spingo Beach, right on the beachfront, right? So we ask them, when last you saw Nomara, you know, that first week or so I came, I should admire it. After that, it's immune. So same with all these finishes. The granite top and whatever else. So we put the thing, but then how much do we benefit from that? It's for that first month or week or something, use it and everything is forgotten. Why not the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The small in our homes. See, Islam is a complete way of life. And we need to impress, emphasize. Right? We can't go for their styles. Sometimes some architects here, then I tell them, when you're designing homes, then keep this in mind as well. That this open plan home is against of Islam. Because it's an open dawat for zina. You are at your lounge, from the lounge you can see into the kitchen, you can see into the dining. From the dining they can see into the kitchen, from the kitchen they can see into the dining, or the lounge they can see. So it may be your wife there, and this person is watching. Right? Or it's your daughter that said, and she's watching what's going on here. But is that acceptable to us? We got a style, we got a way, carry on our way. It may look a little bit backwards, but it is our own security, our own protection, our own good. They don't have that fabric of shame. You see, the basic thing is, the difference between us and them is they don't have shame. They don't have, haya is not part of their culture. You know, Nabi Sallam had discouraged the use of this baths, hammam. So one of the reasons the ulama explained is the hammam used to be open, like a person is undressed and everybody is bathing, you see. Everybody is bathing undressed. So Nabi Sallam had discouraged going into that bath. So one of our seniors from Deoband, he was in some Muslim country, Arab or whatever country it was, and they encouraged him that, why don't you also visit the bath? So he declined. So they insisted, but you know, you're not any different to others. You got the same what others got, so well, what's there you visiting the bath? So he declined, and they kept on pushing him. And when they kept on telling him, but you're not different to others. You got the same things what others got. So no, I got something what you don't have. So what you got? I got shame. My shame is stopping me from this type of environment. See, this modesty. It's part of our culture. Part of our culture. We need to get this back. So at this etiquette, I say, at least this one thing, shame, haya, in every respect, think about it. Where are we going off? Where are we going off in the shame? Try and bring it back. A woman are going for Umrah. One item in the itinerary is to trade in the old abaya. Get new abaya. The new abayas are more attractive. If you look at the description of the jilbab, right, as explained in tafsir, is a thick cloth. Unattractive and a thick cloth. Now this abaya, have they got anything in that? Is it attractive or not? And is it thin or thick, coarse cloth? So it's totally against. Now that is body revealing, it's showing off. So the person gets attracted. When the cloth then, Allah has kept that feeling in woman, that you see it and you get attracted. Now would that, she's wearing this type of a cloth, what happens? So person now is tempted to see in that direction. When it's a woman, then she's wearing that type of cloth, and now he's tempted. So this type of shame I've seen in Deoband. And someone told me that somewhere else also this thing exists. Where the cloth is such, so thick, untidy, not dirty, untidy, creased, you know, very absolutely creased. But that's the type of abaya that woman should wear in Deoband. Now I don't know, but when we are studying, we don't want to look in that direction. Absolutely untidy, thick, creased, the type of cloth now, she's going out of her home. Now will you look at that woman? Now, today, you know, it's against her pride to move out of the house like this. So, then she's going to attract attention. People are getting attracted to her. Why are you wearing this type of clothing? When you're already married, you've got a husband, so why do you wear this type of clothing? So one is in the leaving of the home. Another, to revive a sunnah, you get so much of sawab. A sunnah that is already dead, and you revive so much of sawab. The haya is shobatum min al iman, it's close to iman, so close. That thing goes, then iman just collapses. Then iman, for the iman to exist, then it's very difficult. So guarding the haya and shame, modesty, is like you guarding your iman. So when there isn't a need for her to venture out of the house, why must she? Now they say, no, she must go because you people won't know about her toiletries. That's a common excuse. One is toiletries and who's going to do all the errands. I say, bhai, you got the money to go Umrah every now and then. You got the money to do up your home, go for holiday everywhere, right? What would it cost you if you employ a driver to do all these errands? Groceries, children, school, madrasa, all that. You got a reasonable person, allowing you someone. You pay him 70,000, at least about 100,000 rand a year, kept it aside for this. But just to preserve your haya, we can't do that. See, our thinking gets off. Oh, you know, how are we going to afford this? How are we going to afford this? So, now, that woman that is driving, going out, right, going to the shops, or everything, right, then you're complicating her life. She got all the home duties, then the children, then the running around, all is lumped onto her. Right? Then she's got her own takazas. I can't be driving in a old Corolla. Give me a state of the class car. So it's going to, overall it's going to work out more expensive for you. You think you are saving, right? But overall it's working out more expensive for you. Now, in this case, we've got a driver, he's doing all the errands outside the house. And the greatest benefit is that he's conforming with the advice Nabi Sam gave to Ali and Fatima. Ali, outside the house, all the affairs, you run that. Inside the house, Fatima, you do it. Right? So you're conforming with that hadith. Isn't that a great plus, a great favor, a great advantage? See, it's haya. So one is she's driving, then she's going into this malls, open places, right? Everybody's all type. Music is blasting. It's got a culture of its own. Everything is seductive. Everything is attracting you. People are behaving in a different way. So that becomes when you leave it open, it becomes a culture. It becomes a culture now. So you don't want to entertain guests in your home. You did your state of the art, did all the built is everything. Spend about $500,000 on that. And then you don't want to entertain guests. You'll meet at the mall. So that became the culture. So you have to dress up. The woman has to dress up. The children have to be dressed up for that occasion. So a young boy, 16, 17 years of age, his father is Hafiz, a nice, pious person. So he started making Islam. So he said, tell me as it is. Don't give me only the good. Tell me as it is. So he tells me, I get tempted at girls, young girls, and I want to look at them. So I ask him, where this thing started off? Where did this start off? Because you know where the start, then you know how to nip it in the bud, you know. So he said, no, my father takes me shopping. And there I see all this. So I said, which girls get, just as a joke, amusement, I ask him, which type of girls tempt you most? The white girls. I said, you're a racist then. I can't imagine why he's got tempted. He's got tempted because they are dressed like that. See, they don't have the shame. You know, the nakedness, everything is revealing, the whole body is revealing. He's a young boy, everything is coming up. But now, then I felt sorry for that boy. I felt sorry for him now. How must I get to his father? Right. Number one. Number two is now that adrenaline is building in him. Right? That emotions are building in him. For this type of relationship. And he'll have to hold it within him until he gets married. And you're looking at, if he's 15 or 16, you're looking at another 7 years at least. So he'll have to hold it. Now, in that, if there's an explosion, then... And it's not for everybody to hold it so long. 6 years, 7 years, is quite a long time. Yeah, people, Allah maaf kare, the woman is in haze, they can't hold themselves. Just 7-8 days, they can't hold themselves. So here, 6-7 years, how are they going to hold themselves? So I felt sorry for the youngsters. Hey, you already put yourself, your father put you into this life here. Now you have to hold yourself, and you can't mention these things to your father, you feel too ashamed. Now, how are you going to work this thing out? See this culture. So this type of outgoing woman coming into the shop and all that, it wasn't part of our life. And my proof for that is your dadi ma didn't do this with your dada. They also were human beings, so they also had to have toiletries and all that, right? It's not only something for the 21st century, it was then also. But they didn't see the need for all this thing here. So why did it make it such a big need now? They have to go. That's the second part of the shame, right? In this day, in our context. The third part of shame, again, is now you are going for a drive with your family, right? I say that shame requires putting into the back seat. أَخِّرُوهُنَّ Keep in the back seat. Because the Quran says, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. So wara'i hijab will be more in the back seat, will be conforming to wara'i hijab more in the back seat or in the front seat. Ask yourself. You know, if you are talking to them, whatever, then behind the screen, right? That's the literal meaning. But I ask you, you say behind the screen, there'll be screening more for that woman if she's seated in the front seat or the back seat. She'll be screened, obviously, if she's in the back seat. Show her the fazilat. Don't just lump it onto her. Don't command her. But show her the fazilat. You're going to be reviving a sunnah, the sawab. You know, you're running, want to go to ISIS and all that for shaheed. Get the shaheed sawab here. You can get the shahada sawab. You can get it here as well. But the whole idea for shahada, etc., is to li'hiya'i deen, to revive the deen, right? That's the whole idea. Ilm is what? To revive the deen. Jihad is what? To revive the deen again, right? That's the whole idea. Ilahi kalimatillah and ihya'uddin, both. That's the whole idea of jihad or ilm, right? Ihya. So, can't we just revive the deen, right? Within our capacity, within our context, how much we can. That is a one situation. But this thing is, it's something that is available, something that is near. We can practice it. And explain them the fazilats, show them a couple of good hadiths, right? That what sawab you're going to get for it. And if it is your wife that started this off, right? And 50 other women, they just went and imitated, they copied her. Then who's going to be deserving all the sawab? They came more into shame, more into modesty, right? They realized their place. They came more. So she's the catalyst. She started it off. So every woman that's going to follow after that, she's going to be reaping the benefit, the reaping the sawab. So that's the second, third place, right? The fourth place is of shame, you know, applicable in our modern context, right? The fourth place of applying the shame is even within the home environment. They must apply some shame there as well. See, if the woman is in a home, one or two is within the bedroom, all right, she's differently dressed, that's all right, right? But the moment she moves out of her bedroom, then I say, in our context, then she must be dressed modestly. Right? Now they say, oh, health and all that, but leave all that health. Your imani health is greater than your physical health. Because in most of our homes, you know, you'll find the brother-in-law coming in, sometimes the worker is there, garden boy is there, right? And she is dressed up like this, with tights and all that, tops and tights and all that. I ask you, that worker doesn't have feelings. Sometimes your brother is there, brother-in-law, someone is there. Don't they have feelings? Or to or by your own children. I get complaints over the phone. A youngster says, right, that my mother is dressed up like this. He's talking about his mother. Dressed up in the tights. And I get worked up. And there were one, two occasions where I went and touched her. He went and touched who? His old mother. I should think, you know, that ata ummahu ala niyatan. How is it applicable? You know, it wasn't. We believe the hadith, right? It's going to happen. But you should think now, how is it going to happen? How will it work? Now, the mother is dressing up like that. When she's dressed up like that, so she's attracting her own child. He got the feelings, he's 16, 17, and he saw his mother dressed up like this. Right? So what's happened to him? He got worked up, and he wanted to touch his mother. Then what happens to the relationship? What happens to the marriage? You see? So the shame, really, this is something that we are calculated and moving it out of the house. That's why I say, if you need to be dressed up, and the woman thinks that she needs to dress up for her husband, let it be just confined to the bedroom. Once she steps out of the bedroom, well, then she's a different person. Then she's a mother. You can see a motherly figure, a respectable, nobility. And that is why I say that we, the shame also, a lot of these aspects of shame, you can draw more from the old than the modern, right? Now, look at you, just take for a case example, look at a modern girl, Alima, Hafiza, whatever, take her dress and take your Dadima's dress that maybe passed away 60 years ago, right? And look at her dress and look at this one here. I ask you, which dress has got a sexual appeal? Hers or today's girls? Whether Alima, Hafiz, or her? Yeah, it's got a sexual appeal. That dress got no sexual appeal. They may be using good cloth, right? But it's got no appeal in it. It doesn't have that type of an appeal. Straightforward, simple, like a Muslim attire. Now this is in between, like Muslim, kafir, something from here, something from here. You've got everything mixed up. So this is about five areas we need to correct. After all, why did Umar radiallahu anhu, think to yourself, why did Umar ask the woman not to come to the masjid? Tabitha not to come to the masjid, right? But she can go in the bazaar, she can go to the mall, she can go every other place. Every other place she can go, but she can't come to the masjid. So she's asking why. I'm going every other place. So it's because we didn't understand what is haya. What are the implications of haya? We didn't understand that. Right? And if someone understood it, he's not applying it. It's just in the books. There's no mention, you know, how do we apply it? What should we do? And how do we go about? One person came here. Sounds amusing, but it's a fact, you know. See, this woman don't want to dress up. As they coming up, they married now, that you dress up a little bit more respectfully, right? With haya, shame. Understand that now you are a married woman or you are a mother. Now understand that you're aging, so dress up modestly. Now you dress up as though you're dressing up for your husband. It's not right. You're dressed all right, you dress up for your husband. You need to be attractive to him, that's all right. But beyond that, so one person phoned up and he says that there was a youngster, you know, nowadays they call it samosa run, yeah? Going for the samosa run. So now the girl will come and present the samosas, tea, whatever. So this boy is looking in amazement, but this is not the girl, you know, that I looked at. Now he's expressing, you know, it's not the girl that I looked at. In that commotion, now the mother-in-law came around. This was the one I saw. See what he's saying? This was the one I saw. Now, you see, we are really losing the shame. The shame, it's a very, very poor reflection of the level of shame you've got. We're just losing it. And I feel it's an international problem. Not just to our country, it's an international problem. Even the Arab countries, not good to mention it, but if they're not equal to us, they're worse than us. They are worse than us in their attire, within the home or within the families. And this is the type of dress they are putting on. So now, you can imagine what will happen afterwards. What will be the ramifications? See? So this aspect of haya, we need to instill, keep on talking about it, keep on talking about it. And Allah Ta'ala willing, this thing comes up again. Now, coming back to this incident of Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi. And he says, I presented these questions to about 500 or 600 mashayikh. Awliya, not mashayikh, others just was awliya. And all answers were identical, same. So, the one question was, Hoshiyar kon hai? hoshyar kone. Right. So the answer was, jo apne hosh ko baki rakh sakta ho. Who can remain, he can keep his composure. Right. Now, Hazrat gave an explanation to this. He says, hoshyar is a constructed word. You know, one word and constructed to the other. So two words are constructed made into one. Like how you say, mat, wrist. It's supposed to be mat and wrist. So it's constructed. How you say, wind, door. Right. So it's two words constructed, made into one. Right. So hoshyar is also like that. It's a construct, two words and been constructed together. Hosh is hosh, we know, senses, right? Yar is person, those, etc. Right? So person that has got his composure, he hasn't lost his composure. No matter what situation you are confronted with, but you are keeping your composure, that's a hoshyar person. So in life, they're going to be لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. All type of situations are going to come up. And what you are required, in all these situations, you maintain your composure. You don't lose it. No matter what situation, no matter what odds you are faced up with, but you maintain your composure. Now, it happens with us that someone will say something just against our temperament, and we lost it. Small misbehavior, and we lost it. We misusing our tongue, abusive, or we become physical. Small little misbehavior, something went against the grain, and we let the person have it. So I heard there was an argument at some walima, where one person pulled out his gun. I don't know if he shot or he didn't shoot, but a small little argument, perhaps arcing this, whatever, that's right. So the composure. So where we got it wrong is this, that we feel that we got wealth, so we are wealthy. We are intelligent. Wealthy is different. Intelligence is something else. Position is something else. And intelligence is something else. Both are poles apart. It doesn't mean you have wealth or a position and you automatically just became intelligent. As you gave an incident, you know, when Buzurg was going. So, he didn't have shoes, he didn't have proper clothing and shoes. And as he was about to enter the town, in the old days, like you'll find, a town has a gate. Up till now, you got Delhi gate and all that. I suppose those days, for security reasons, at the evening, they would just seal it off, they'll block it off. So they should have a gate, central gate. So the gate was closed at the time. So this Buzurg asked, what happened? So they told him that the royal falcon, that thing escaped. And the thing escaped, so they sealed the place off. So this Buzurg cried to Allah Ta'ala, Allah, like a man with intelligence, understanding, reasoning. And I don't have clothing, I don't have proper shoes. This person here, he got all the wealth of the world, and he doesn't have this level of reasoning, and you posted him to that position. So Allah's answer to him was, if you like, we can swap the roles. We can give you his intelligence, right, and that position with that wealth, right, and pass on your piety, righteousness, understanding to him. You prepare for the swap. I slipped up. It's my stupidity to ask for such a thing. So if you don't have that wealth, if Allah has blessed you with understanding, reasoning, piety, righteousness, then it's something you can't negotiate. It's unnegotiable. Allah give you understanding of deen, piety, righteousness, etc. And this is something that is unnegotiable. Now, we will equate a person's progress with wealth. Wealth and position. Wealth and position. We see so much of that. So if you got wealth, then you must talk. And if you don't have the wealth, then you can't talk. So that reasoning of ours is not right. So hoshyar. So you can maintain your composure. You're confronted with any situation. Maintain calm. Oh, there was a phone just now. One person, I won't mention the town. He says, Mona, this year Ramadan, the amount of talaqs like I never hear before. One place, amount of marital problems like I never hear before. So you can't maintain your composure, what happens? Otherwise you should say this thing, you say that in nojawano ko shadi karne ka shok hai, baap banne ka shok hai. Lekin shadi aur baap banne ki zimbedari kya unko aata hai? Do they know what it is to be a father, responsibility? Do they know what it is? So understand responsibility that is coming in with that. One alim just qualified for 21 years of age and he got married. Now he wants to go and live in the Free State. And he's very, very punctual in his jamaat, 3 days, 40 days, etc. So I asked him, what is your wife's age? 16, 17 in between. So right, you're punctual in your jamaat. So you're going to be living in Free State somewhere, right? So if you're going to be going for 3 days, what will you do? No, my friend, keep her at the friend's house, all right? For the first time. Is your friend going to allow you all the time? All the time, you're going for 3 days and she'll be there. What about his privacy and what about your wife's privacy? Number one. This, you won't be able to maintain it. Number two, I said, I'll keep at home. I'll go for the 3 days or 40 days and I'll keep at home. I said, but she's that age, 16, 17 years of age. If she doesn't feel well, something happens, she apprehends some problem, what must she do? You kept her in that home or that flat, whatever, at that age, 16, 17, and some problem came up. She's all alone. Now what must she do? Her people are here in Durban, and she's living there. Now look at the logistics. Is it working out? As I said, now you look for a job here. Alhamdulillah, he listened, he took a job on here. And really, I was just seeing a shot in the dark. Is this possible? His wife really had problems in delivery and whatever complications. Every now and then go to a doctor, pain, whatever, all complications she had. It was her luck that she stayed around. That if the husband is gone, then at least the mother is there or someone that could see to them. But now he's gone and then she's here. Now, then when they don't make mashwara with the elders, see, the jamaat got elders, they must make mashwara with the elders. These are my halat, I'm going to live like this. This is the right thing. No, I'm going to do the khidmat of deen. This is also khidmat, this is also deen. That someone that you responsible for, then are you taking good care of that person? Composure, see. Someone else's daughter, it was your daughter, right? And she's living under that circumstance. Would you appreciate that? Someone else's daughter, whoever's daughter it is, but you respect that as well. Then you give another incident, you know, to maintain composure. At any given time, maintain composure. And as I say, every community has got elders. Jamaat has got elders. So you're going to speak to them. This is my halat. Must I do this or not? Now, we don't maintain that type of relationship. And then I say, no, I was doing dini khidmat. Then you're giving a bad name to the jamaat. Sometimes you're giving a bad name to the ulama. Because you didn't refer to anybody and you took your independent decision. And then you got lump with the problem, now you say, no, I'm doing dini khidmat. Dini khidmat, Sahaba Ikram also, we discuss with Nabi Sassan. He wants to go out in jihad. Nabi Sassan asks, are your parents alive? Go and serve them. So, wasn't this consulting? Wasn't there consulting? Is there anything greater than jihad? Zirwatu sinamihi, al jihadu fi sabiillah. But they consult with Nabi Sassan. So you see, you give the ulama a bad name, you give the jamaat a bad name. Why? Because you thought to yourself, I know everything and I don't need to consult. You didn't make mashura, you didn't consult, and you caused the problem. Hazrat gave another incident about the same composed, you know. You came to this world, you'll have someone for you, someone against you. Someone speaking in your favor, someone speaking against you. That'll happen. Criticism, all will happen. But if I leave all this criticism, see, criticism is like the dogs barking and the donkeys braying, right? The caravan must carry on. Now, if the caravan is going to stop at every dog, hey, stop. 10 meters again, that one donkey is braying, stop again. When is he going to complete the safar? So just ignore them and you continue. You're not going to stop them. Everybody will have his own mind. He thinks this of you. Do you need to fit into their portfolio and their understanding? Do you need to fit? No, you need to see your life. My life, I'm all right, I'm comfortable, that's enough. I'm not doing something that's against the Sharia, against respect, I'm not doing anything. Now, after that, if anybody wants to think anything about me, that's his business. He wants to take guna, that's his problem. I don't want to get involved in that. But you can't be worried about every person's criticism and then adjust your life according to what he says. Sunnah, and live within respect, respectfully with the sunnah. That's enough. After that, if anybody criticizes and condemns, that's his business. That's not your problem. Because show me one person that the world was happy with. The world didn't get happy with anybody. It didn't leave anybody. Musa alayhi salam complained to Allah Ta'ala that make it such that people don't talk out against me. So Allah Ta'ala's answer was, O Musa, they didn't leave me. Where will they leave you? So 8 years they left, they didn't leave Allah Ta'ala also. They picked out of Allah Ta'ala as well. So they didn't leave Allah Ta'ala, then how they'll leave you? So you'll have this jamaat. They make it their business. تَجْعَلُونَ رِسْكَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. They make it their business to criticize, run down. You mean that's their business now. Let them carry on with their business. You carry on with your business. They're doing in their business, isn't it? They're doing good in their business. So you do good in your business. One person was like how you give your tabligh, you keep giving reminders, Dawat, Amar bil Maruf. So he was advising the person, kept on advising. And that person not just receiving. So he said, no, this is the last time I'm going to speak to him, after that I'm not going to speak to him at all. So one experienced elder, he came out and he said, you see, your reasoning is incorrect. Your reasoning is incorrect. Right? In spite of your advising, he persisted on his way. He persisted on his way in spite of your advising. So many times you advised him, but he persisted. Isn't that a lesson for you? That you persist on your way. He persists in his way. You persist on your way. Your way is to advise. You must go on advising. Keep on advising. He will persist on his wrong. You persist on the right. So where's the logic here that he's persisting on his wrong and you're not persisting on the right? Just carry on doing your right. So you don't worry about him whether he's listening or not listening. Are you doing your work? He's not leaving that. He's not giving that up. So why must you give up? See, there's always another way to look, a better way to look. Brother Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, see, this Buzhwan, from everything they take a lesson. They don't go criticize or running on a rampage. They don't go on the rampage like this. Like last night I was talking about the phone, the rampage, right? The problem that it's causing. So they look at life, but how can I gain from life? You know, life is a business. And in this business, how must I gain? What profits I can yield out of it? We are Indians after all. So we want to make money, right? Every morning, you don't want to waste the time. You want to make something, draw something out of it. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi is going out with some of his students and all that. So he sees a thief now, and he's about to be shot to death. See? Is on the cross and they're about to kill him. So he found out, so they say, you know, he stole for the first time, they amputated the right hand. Then he stole for the second time, then they amputated the left. So forth and so on. Now they got tired of him, so they are shooting him. So the Junaid went and kissed the feet. So the students are saying, hey, you're kissing the feet of a robber. No, I'm kissing the feet of istiqamat. You see that steadfastness. He stood his ground, no matter what odds. He lived a robber and he died a robber. He's kissing the feet of steadfastness. See, this is always a good dimension to look at. That is, if you are willing to open your eyes. But you seal your eyes, only, hey, I don't use that word. Gujarati is a bad word. I don't use that. Chorche. So, you can look at it from that, like a tunnel vision. But if you open your vision, you can look at it from a better perspective. How can you gain out of it? This whole thing here, alright, how much I gain out of it? If you think properly, calm, composed, then you can be led to thinking correctly. But you insist, no, I must think like this. It will happen like that. This last incident I mentioned, Hazrat mentioned, was the same, you know, Hoshyar. He says the royal elephant just broke loose. So there was a royal announcement made that everybody must get into the homes and close the shutters. You know, in India, the big shutters they have. 3 meters by 5 meters, they have big, big shutters. Close all the shutters. So in all that commotion, one small little child, 5, 6 years of age, he got left. Now the elephant is within meters. Now nobody got the guts to go and pull the child away. Obviously, the thing got wild now. On a stampede, the thing is, you know, literal stampede. Stamp. So the child saw that elephant coming and it's within meters and it saw a small pup. So it grabbed that pup by the tail and it hurled it and swung it on the elephant's snout. So these big animals, when they hear something different, then they get scared. As big as the mass is, but something they're not used to, then they get scared. When that thing flung, that thing was like a shock. That thing took a U-turn back to the palace. But what was the wisdom in this? Is this child, as small as he is, he maintained composure. He could defend himself against a mass as an elephant. And all those people that were scared, right, they lost composure, they had to hide. See that, maintaining composure. This is called hoshyar. So at any given situation, marriage, home, shop, etc., maintain that composure. Any situation. What a phone, I maintain composure. What can I see? What mustn't I see? I lost my composure. I went to sites that I'm not supposed to be. Right. I went into a group that I'm not supposed to be. Right. My mind is pulling me. But I must maintain composure. No. I don't want to read this thing here. I don't want to see this picture. Now that can happen if you maintain composure. But if there's no discipline, there's no composure, then you can get into any group, read any article, mess up your mind, confuse and complicate yourself, look at any picture and destroy the composure of your mind, everything can be destroyed. But where it comes from? Hoshyar. Allah Pak.